Very well. Welcome everybody here, second hour today. Thank you for joining us. Those of you that are watching the broadcast, turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to 2 Timothy chapter 2. For today, I'm actually bringing part 2 to supplement last week's message, which, as I stated therein, is about our Savior, our Lord, and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about our singular and our exclusive allegiance to Him alone. And also about the forces in our world that are attempting to demand that we give our allegiance and our unconditional obedience not to Christ, but instead to the system of the beast that really is being implemented as we speak by the devil's worldwide cabal, worldwide network of devoted but duped, doomed and damned globalist elite, who, by the way, are actually directly assisted by blind guides, spineless wimps, and in some cases outright traitors in the pulpits of the churches, many of the churches, many of whom are so spiritually blind that they fail to see that they're betraying Christ Himself and just going along to get along with the program. This is also a follow-up, actually, to a message I preached a couple weeks ago about controlling the conflict and about being peacemakers in our personal lives among those that we interact with, or those that we live with on a daily basis. But as mentioned in that message, while Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," and while we read in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15, that God hath called us to peace, we are not to make peace with those who are enemies of the cross and who are making war with the Lord Jesus. And in that sense, our calling to peace and to be peacemakers must be balanced with our calling to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, as Paul exhorted Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, where he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Timothy wasn't selected specially from among other Christians to be a soldier. The fact of the matter is that we have all, in being called to salvation, we have all been called to warfare. We've all been called to spiritual battle, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and we've all been called to endure hardness, because there's a lot of hardness ahead in days to come that we're going to have to endure. Like Timothy and like God's saints in all ages, so we too, all of us, whether we're weak or strong, whether we're young or old, even the young ones here, we're all going to have to learn how to endure hardness in days to come. This very evil day that we find ourselves to be living is going to be fraught with hardness ahead. We have to recognize that we are at war, that the devil is waging a very real warfare against us, and we have to arm ourselves to the battle, and we have to fight to endure hardness. I need to say that I don't enjoy preaching about these things. I really don't. I wish things were different. I wish that I could somehow maybe ignore the overshadowing evil that has engulfed the entire planet right now. I wish I could preach nothing but happy, feel-good, Pollyanna-type, glad game sermons, or go-along and get-along sermons like many preachers do today. But as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, "If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, how shall the people prepare themselves to the battle?" And we have a battle that we need to prepare ourselves to. And the fact is that, as mentioned last week, it is becoming very quickly true across the globe, worldwide, that those who refuse to pledge their allegiance, to give their obeisance to the devil's beast system, those who refuse to believe its lies, or to wear its mask, or to take its jab in their arm, which soon, possibly, will be a microneedle patch on their hand, its mark, are right now already being identified, marginalized, and even criminalized in many places, just as the Jews were in Germany and Europe before and during the Nazi Holocaust of World War II. It's quite obvious that for some reason, for what can only be a very nefarious, evil, diabolical reason, the powers that be want every human being on the planet to receive a wholly unnecessary injection into their veins of a potentially dangerous gene-altering serum to allegedly fight off an alleged virus that only poses a serious threat to less than 1% of the population, and that the elderly over 70, and that can easily and effectively be treated by other means, but which other means are being hidden and kept out of public media discussion. They want everybody taking this vaccine. And why is that? It has absolutely nothing to do with fighting a virus or protecting anyone's health. Instead, it's all about control. And ultimately, as should be clear to anyone who knows anything about the Bible, it's also about the final implementation of the mark of the beast of Revelation 13. The technology is in place. The only thing the devil is waiting for now is the green light from the Father to unleash that time of tribulation that can only happen in God's timing, when God allows him to. That said, it looks to me like the devil's trying to jump the gun here a little bit, and because what is being done right now is very dangerous. I mentioned to y'all a couple of weeks ago that I had just been to see my doctor for a checkup. And again, he's a cool guy, Hispanic, about my age, always a bit of a comedian. He was in a wheelchair this visit. That was because he recently jumped out of his fishing boat into shallow water and broke his ankle. And he said his fishing buddy asked him if he needed some help, and he replied, "No, you can just stay in the boat. I think I'll just lay here in the water for a while." So he's a bit of a comedian. But like Brother Jade's doctor, he doesn't require patients to wear a face mask in his office. He walked in the room where I was waiting, and he asked me if I'm staying away from the COVID. I said, "I don't think the COVID is anything to be afraid of." I told him I refuse to wear a face mask or go anywhere that requires me to unless I have no choice, especially since overwhelming evidence, I said, and studies show that face masks do nothing to prevent viral infection. He said, "That's right." My doctor said, "That's right." He said, the way people are wearing masks in public is useless. Then he asked me if I got a vaccine. I said, "Absolutely not. I refuse to do so, and I think the vaccine is much worse than the virus." He again said, "I agree with you." He's a good doctor. He said, "I agree with you." He said he doesn't like the way that they're starting up these vaccine passports to make everyone get a vaccine. He doesn't like it at all. And then after I mentioned it, he agreed that he doesn't trust the technology of the mRNA vaccines either. And he's asking the same questions that we are. Why should we trust these pharmaceutical companies, these evil people that run these companies, to reprogram the cells in our bodies to function in different ways than God created them to function? He said, "How do we know that they're putting the right genetic codes into the cells, into their serum?" He asked this question. This is a doctor. And he also said these genetic vaccines have not been subjected to near enough testing, and there's no way to know what side effects they can produce years down the road. This is my doctor talking. He said he's in the healthcare industry and he's supposed to support this, but he can't do it. And of course, the major problem here, which he didn't mention, in addition to those things, is that there is no recourse whatsoever against the producers of these vaccines. Right. Under the government's PREP Act, the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act, the vaccine producers have been granted a blanket of absolute immunity from lawsuit if serious side effects or even death results from taking them. And even the FDA, who has approved these vaccines for our use, you can't sue them because they've got sovereign immunity under protection as a government agency. Well, in a sense, yes, they do. As one preacher said that I watched this past week, after someone sent me a link, one of the few who was actually warning his church not to get the vaccine, his name is Matt Truella. He said that in itself, the fact that there is no recourse in the event of injury or death from these vaccines, that in itself, he says, all the reason that we need not to take the vaccine. This particular preacher appears to be of the Reformed persuasion. He didn't appear to see the prophetic significance of the globalist agenda here. He also appears to be a loyal Trump supporter, and he failed to mention in his message it was actually Donald Trump who on Friday, March 13th of last year, started the fear-mongering as he declared a national state of emergency, warned of 2.2 million deaths in America alone, and he put the entire nation on virtual lockdown. It was Trump who asked that public gatherings be limited to no more than 10 people. Trump started that. And they threatened, if you recall, he threatened a military blockade of the states of New York and New Jersey and parts of Connecticut. And the, of course, Trump personally appointed a coronavirus task force composed of several Jesuit loyalists, including Anthony Fauci, who boasts of his Jesuit training, and the scarf lady, Deborah Birx, who, if you recall, had a Jesuit priest swear her into her office after Pope Francis said he couldn't make it. This preacher also failed to mention that it was Donald Trump who initiated his project Warp Speed to allegedly develop these vaccines and said he was going to call out the military to administer them, and is even now in absentia and exile from Washington, D.C., promoting the vaccine and urging people to take it. All that said, though, this preacher was warning his people not to take the vaccine, which is far more than the vast majority of the so-called pastors in the churches are doing. Of course, that video, though, I saw this morning, was removed by YouTube for violating its community guidelines after a few thousand views, actually. I mentioned last week the vaccine passports being implemented. It would be one thing if the vaccine was truly voluntary and there were no social repercussions for refusing them. But as reported by the New York Times 2 months ago, whoever does not get vaccinated will be left behind as a two-tier social system was created first in Israel and that has now expanded to New York and will soon be seen globally. IBM, a company that colluded directly with Hitler during World War II to identify Jews in Europe for extermination, has now colluded with vaccine maker Moderna to develop this electronic vaccine passport that IBM calls its digital health pass, but it's being marketed in New York as what's being called the Excelsior Pass in New York. This technology combines blockchain technology, artificial intelligence, and hybrid cloud services to track vaccine administration in real time, and it effectively basically deputizes private business to enforce government-imposed COVID-19 policy regulations. Tying our biometric ID to our health data through a smartphone app that shares data between governments, healthcare providers, food supply chains, and global banking systems. Ties all that together. Even secular sources are seeing the evil of this system. One article posted a few days ago cites a 2000 book by Edwin Black called IBM and the Holocaust, saying that IBM has never denied even the most incriminating details of its involvement in the Holocaust, having developed early computer technology, actually, without which Hitler could not have identified the Jews of Europe on the scale that he did. The population census and identification of Jews was actually managed by IBM directly, first from its New York headquarters, actually, and later through subsidiaries in Germany, Poland, Holland, France, and Switzerland. This article says, particularly powerful are the newly released copies of the IBM concentration camp codes. He says in this book, IBM maintained a customer site in virtually every concentration camp to sort or process punch cards and track prisoners. IBM did this. And so this is the company that has now partnered up with Moderna and the other vaccine producers to produce this digital health pass, also known as Excelsior Pass. In an interview with Fox News a couple weeks ago, a former Clinton advisor, Naomi Wolf, warned that mandatory COVID-19 passports will spell, quote, the end of human liberty in the West. She said, quote, vaccine passport sounds like a fine thing if you don't understand what these platforms can do. She said, I'm the CEO of a tech company. I understand what these platforms can do. It's not about the vaccine. It's not about the virus. It's about your data. It's about your data. She said, once this rolls out, you don't have a choice about being part of the system. What people have to understand is that any other functionality can be loaded onto that platform with no problem at all. It can be merged with your PayPal account, with your digital currency, with your bank account. She said, Microsoft is already talking about merging it with payment plans. Your network can be sucked up. It geolocates you wherever you go. Your credit history can be included. All of your medical and health history can be included. This is in this app that IBM's come up with. She said this has already happened in Israel, and 6 months later we're hearing from activists that it's a two-tiered society and that basically activists are ostracized and surveilled continually. It's the end of civil society, and they are trying to roll it out around the world. She said, it's absolutely so much more than a vaccine pass. I cannot stress enough that it has the power to turn off your life or to turn on your life, to let you engage in society or be marginalized. So even non-Christians see the evil of this agenda. For us, however, I think it should be quite obvious that this system marks a huge step towards the literal mark of the beast, which can right now, with this system, be implemented using this very system. Links our biometric ID and our health data through a smartphone app between governments, healthcare providers, food supply chains, and banking systems. Here in Florida, we do have a brief window of freedom and what appears for now to be a good governor in Ron DeSantis. And far better, may I say, than we see in other states, especially California and New York. This past March 29th, Governor DeSantis announced that he will issue, I don't think he's done it yet, will issue an executive order forbidding local governments and businesses from requiring vaccine certificates. He says as follows, it's completely unacceptable for either the government or the private sector to impose upon you the requirement that you show proof of vaccine to just simply participate in normal society. I heard him make that statement on news, and that's a great statement to make, is it not? He said he's calling on the state legislature to create a measure that will allow him to sign it into law. So it won't just be an executive order, it'll be signed into law. And I hope he follows through with all this, and I hope the legislature will follow suit. However, even so, that will just be a stopgap measure, I believe, and just one finger in the dike that's already full of too many holes. Personally, my opinion is that the Roman Catholic, Ron DeSantis, he's a Yale and a Harvard grad, and he's a former Navy JAG lawyer also. I think he's being groomed as a VP pick for Donald Trump's run in 2024, my personal opinion. And as such, I think is currently building his reputation as a populist. He's been on Fox News. I mean, he's getting a lot of national attention right now. I do believe he's being groomed for that position. We'll see where things go. But we all know in the scriptures where this is going. I'm glad that we do have this brief window of freedom in Florida, and that we go around Florida, we don't see masks everywhere. A lot of people are wearing them because they believe the lies and they're living in fear. But we do know in the scriptures where all this is going. Jesuit puppet Anthony Fauci says that we should all expect another COVID-19 surge in coming weeks. And we also know from what we're hearing that the next pandemic is already in the works, actually, which another Jesuit puppet, Bill Gates, says will be 10 times worse than this one. That's what Gates says. Of course, he knows that since he sold his soul to his father, the devil, and is one of the planners and perpetrators of the entire charade. Wednesday night, I mentioned the draconian COVID-19 Nazi tyranny that's being stepped up in Canada, where pastors, more than one, by the way, are being jailed for holding church meetings of more than 10 people. Another article was sent to me this morning about a man in Canada who has been now arrested and jailed for referring to his biological female child as his daughter and for using female pronouns to refer to her when she wants to be known as a male. So he was jailed for violating a court order, ordering him not to do that. The father's name is Rob Hoagland. He has a 15-year-old daughter who wants to identify as male. His daughter started to identify as a boy at school when age 12. The school helped her to choose a new name without telling him about it. The first her father heard of it was when he saw her new name in her class's yearbook. The school had determined that her father had no right to know his daughter's preferred sex, gender, or name at school. This is in Canada. Hoagland discovered that the school had been showing her sexual and gender identity materials, which amount to transgender ideology propaganda videos. The school also referred his daughter to a psychologist, an LGBT activist, who predictably referred her for testosterone injections when she was only 13 years old. This is going on in our world today. And that's what's happening, and it's coming here as well, I do believe. If I lived in Canada or New York right now, I'd strongly consider moving to Florida while I could. But it's going to all be at our doorstep soon as well. Right. The day is coming when we actually may have to either fellowship in prison or not at all. That day is coming. I also have printed there in the back table for you an article about a British whistleblower from within the Pfizer organization. His name is Dr. Michael Yeadon, who is Pfizer's former vice president and chief scientist for allergy and respiratory research. This man spent 32 years in the industry leading a new medicines research, and he retired from the pharmaceutical giant a few years ago with the title of the most senior research position in his field. So he knows what he's talking about. Dr. Michael Yeadon is British. The title of the article is exclusive. Former Pfizer VP, your government is lying to you in a way that could lead to your death. He's warning this vaccine can lead to death and actually be used for depopulation of the world. I also, by the way, watched an interview with Dr. Yeadon this past week. And I heard as he said in the past, he had always dismissed and laughed at claims of a global conspiracy. But now he declares the entire COVID-19 narrative to be a lie and the vaccines to be wholly unnecessary and being pushed on the planet for, he says, a very evil purpose that can only be seen as global conspiracy. He now sees that. He's not a Christian, but he says we need God more than ever. But I encourage you to read the article for yourself. I'll also send you a link. I actually forward this to some that need to read this article, and I encourage you to do the same. The seven main points of this article is that, first of all, he says there's no possibility that current variants of COVID-19, they're calling for all these, warning about all these variants and all this, and so we'll have to come up with all these new, you know, new boosters and all this stuff. He says there's no possibility that these variants will escape immunity. In other words, we don't need all these vaccines for this thing. They're not a new danger. He said it's just a lie. Two, he said, yet governments around the world are repeating this lie, indicating that we are witnessing not just so-called convergent opportunism, but a conspiracy, he says. Thirdly, he says pharmaceutical companies have already begun to develop unneeded top-up or booster vaccines for the so-called variants, planning to manufacture billions of vials in addition to current experimental COVID-19 vaccine campaign. He says regulatory agencies like the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the European Medicines Agency have announced that since these top-up vaccines, these boosters, will be so similar to the prior injections, which were approved for emergency use authorization, drug companies will not be required to perform any clinical safety studies. They'll be so similar, they don't have to go through FDA. That's what he says. Thus, this virtually means that design and implementation of repeated and coerced mRNA vaccines, quote, go from the computer screen of a pharmaceutical company into the arms of hundreds of millions of people, injecting some superfluous genetic sequence, for which there is absolutely no need or justification, he says. We don't need this thing. They're pushing it on the planet. So then, number six, he says, why are they doing this? He concludes, since no benign or harmless reason is apparent, the use of vaccine passports along with the banking reset could issue a totalitarianism unlike the world has ever seen. Recalling the evil of Stalin, Mao, and Hitler, mass depopulation remains a logical outcome, he concludes. Mass depopulation. This is, he's big with Pfizer, VP. The fact is, point seven is conclusion. The fact that this could be true means everyone must fight like crazy, he says, to make sure that system never forms. So he's encouraging people to fight this thing. In one paragraph, he said this, but in the last year, I realized that my government and its advisors are lying in the faces of the British people about everything to do with this coronavirus, absolutely everything. It's a fallacy, this idea of asymptomatic transmission. that you don't have symptoms, but you're a source of a virus. He said that's a fallacy. It's a fallacy that lockdowns work. It's a fallacy that masks have a protective value, obviously for you or someone else, and that variants are scary things, that we even need to close international borders in case some of these nasty foreign variants get in. He says it's all a joke. It's all a lie. He says, and since I can't think of a benign explanation for any of the steps, variants, top-up vaccines, no regulatory studies, it's not only that I cannot think of a benign explanation of the steps described and the scenario described and the necessary sort of resolution to this false problem is going to allow what I just described, unknown and unnecessary gene sequences allowed, injected into the arms of potentially billions of people for no reason. He said they can program these vaccines to go in and in 2 years cause your liver to shut down. That's what he says. These are the enemies that we face right now. When they came to arrest Jesus, Luke records that Jesus said to one of the chief priests, the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, "Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves." Jesus said, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me." He said, "But this is your hour and the power of darkness." That's what he said then. This is your hour and the power of darkness. I believe that that is now true of this hour and what's coming as well. As you read in Revelation 12, verse 12, "For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he has but a short time." I know that's during the period known as the Great Tribulation. We're not quite there yet, but the hour is drawing near. We need to see all of this for what it is. Evil, I believe, has descended over the entire world like a looming thick darkness, has it not? It's been with us for a year now. It's not going to go away. And I believe that this spiritual darkness is going to proceed from bad to worse until Jesus comes. But like the Israelites in Egypt, with this plague of darkness, we'll still have light in our tents. I believe that too. And as I said up front, I do not enjoy at all preaching about these things. But I do need to give a certain sound. I do wish things were different. Wish I could ignore these things. But again, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? And I need to do what I can to prepare you all for what's ahead. Amen. At this point, there's really nowhere to run. And the trumpet cannot sound the retreat signal. We're not to retreat into the woods or into the mountains, I don't believe. We are at war, and this is not any time for retreat. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. It should be clear to us at this point, as the entire globe has been placed in a lockdown over this made-up crisis, that is no crisis, and is being force-fed a solution that is no solution, but is in fact far worse than the disease. It should be clear to us that this pre-planned pandemic is clearly being used at present as one of the final means to its ultimate end that the devil has in view. And that end is global domination to be ruled by Satan's man of sin, the Antichrist. As we have covered in various messages, John describes here in Revelation 13 two separate entities that he calls beasts, each of which represent global empires that are in fact very closely related and work very much together to accomplish the same end. At the same time, they also represent the two men who will be in total control of these global empires. We've talked about this a lot. The devil knows his time is short, and so this man of sin will, in fact, rule the globe for a short time, 42 months or 3.5 years. We read here in verse 5. And then John sees a second beast coming up out of the earth. Verse 11, "And I beheld another beast," John says, "coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live." This is the second ruler here, second beast. Verse 16, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. For But today I want to just repeat three observations quickly that I made from this chapter in a message just over a year ago. First, as we have studied and I believe proven in prior messages, the second beast, having two horns like a lamb but speaking as a dragon, represents a global religious empire. The first beast there is a global military, political empire. The second one is religious. And at the same time, this beast also represents the man that will be in control of that empire, also known as the false prophet we read about in Revelation 16, 19, and 20, which we've also identified as the papacy in Rome, the Vatican. Notice that it is, in fact, this second beast that has the major role in deceiving the world to accept this mark. And so then, I find it to be far more than just an interesting coincidence that we now hear that the Roman pontiff, the Jesuit Jorge Bergoglio, has announced an upcoming conference this coming May, in just a couple of weeks, to focus on so-called mind-body-soul connection to healthcare. There's another article that is in your bulletins that you can read. I won't spend much time on it, short on time for today. But I will be coming back to the papacy's role in this whole COVID-19 scam as we continue our study in Revelation, possibly next week or the week after. For today, though, here's just a brief quote from the article. Vatican City, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the Jesuit, Chelsea Clinton, the daughter of Bill Clinton, who was president of the class at Jesuit Georgetown University, Jesuit, and CEOs of pharmaceutical manufacturers Moderna and Pfizer. They're not bringing J&J in there. By the way, speaking of which, Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that's getting a lot of bad press. That's kind of causing a lot of bad reactions. Well, so are the others, but we're not hearing about those. Why is that? Because the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is not a mRNA vaccine. That's why they want it. So that's why J&J is not coming to this. Johnson & Johnson. What's that? They're taking it out of the picture. Yeah, they want everyone on these infernal mRNA vaccines. They want to adjust your DNA, how your cells work. By the way, I thought our bodies were supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. How can we let them tell our bodies what to do? That's a whole other subject there. Dr. Anthony Fauci, Chelsea Clinton, CEOs of pharmaceutical manufacturers Moderna and Pfizer, which created leading COVID-19 vaccines, will be among the featured speakers at a healthcare conference next month co-hosted by the Vatican's Pontifical Council for Culture, entitled Exploring the Mind, Body, and Soul, How Innovation and Novel Delivery Systems, that means vaccines, improve human health. So the Pope is having a conference here on how vaccines improve human health. The Vatican says in May 6th to 8th, Unite to Prevent online conference. We'll bring together doctors, scientists, religious leaders, philanthropists, Bill Gates, and others to discuss the latest breakthroughs in medicine, healthcare delivery, and prevention, as well as the human implications and cultural impact of technological advances. Pope Francis will address the conference in a video message at its conclusion, and priests, pastoral healthcare workers, and students from the pontifical and Catholic universities worldwide are invited to take part. That's all for today on the Vatican's role in this scheme, which I'll assure you is far more central and all-encompassing than the Vatican wants anyone to know at this time. So the second beast in Revelation 13, having two horns like a lamb but speaking as a dragon, represents both the global religious empire and the man that will control that empire, the false prophet and the papacy in Rome. We also see this entity in Revelation 17, which is, the woman that rides the beast there, the harlot. And we'll talk about that some more. But that is the harlot church that is in control of this global beastly empire. So secondly, we need to see here that this mark we see in Revelation 13, whatever it is or becomes, will be the means and the method of implementing a global economic system. And indeed, that the very purpose for this mark is to exert total economic control over the entire earth, over every man, woman, and child therein. Third, we need to see the deception of this system, and that those who submit this system will be deceived into doing so. Verse 14, we read, And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do inside of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had their wound by the sword and did live. We see in verse 15 that those who are deceived into submitting to the system end up actually worshiping the beast. We also know that they are, in fact, deceived into taking this mark of the beast. How do we know that? We read in Revelation 19, verse 20. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They were deceived. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. These verses do say clearly that those that take the mark of the beast will be deceived by various means into doing so. And the primary motivation for taking this mark will be actually one of the primary weapons the devil has always used in every age, which is fear. One of his primary weapons is fear. We see in chapter 14 that the deception is no excuse for taking the mark. And those that take the devil's mark, deceived or not, will be judged for having allowed themselves to be so deceived. The goal of this pre-planned pandemic of releasing the virus, the vaccines, the vaccine passports, whatever mutant, virus strains come along, and whatever the next planned solution is, the goal is the very same goal as the devil has in the mark of the beast that we see here. It's all about control. Total economic control over the entire earth. Global enslavement of every man, woman, and child therein. And the great sin of even allowing oneself to be deceived into taking this mark is one of idolatry, of submitting oneself to another master than the Lord Jesus, which in and of itself, by itself, is an act of worship, to submit to another master. That is the devil's goal, to get mankind to worship him by giving him their willing obeisance. And that has been the goal and the ultimate agenda of the devil's cabal of minions and devoted servants for centuries. And for those many centuries, the devil's beast system has been waging warfare against God's people. That was the goal of the Jesuits' 10-plank Communist Manifesto, published in 1848 by Karl Marx, and has been implemented, by the way, in various degrees in all nations of the earth, America included. That was the ultimate goal of the American War Between the States of the 1860s. That was the goal of the passage by the U.S. Congress in 1913 of the Federal Reserve Act, turning a nation's currency over to the Rockefeller/Morgan/Rothschild Vatican banking cartel, which satisfied the fifth plank of the Communist Manifesto. That's also the goal of the alleged ratification that same year, the 16th Amendment, the U.S. Constitution, that created a heavy progressive income tax, the second plank of the Communist Manifesto. Together, these two acts, Federal Reserve Act and the income tax, completely did away with financial privacy that existed before that time. When our economy was based on gold and silver coin, that was a free system, liberty, private. No one knew who was transacting what. Privacy and transactions. Those two acts completely did away with financial privacy so that now your every transaction can be controlled through the banks. Try to function without a bank account today. Completely did away with financial privacy. Open the accounting ledgers and bank accounts of every citizen now to inspection by the federal government. Created a slave state mentality whereby every citizen now thinks these things are normal, that he has to open his private financial records to the beast every April. It's all about control. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We know that in verse 9 through 11, Paul says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." We know Paul says in the very next verse, verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." We've been over those verses many times, various messages. But then Paul says in the very next verse, verse 12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Paul says, "I will not be brought under the control or the power of any sin. I will not allow any sin to control me," he says here. In the same way, we have to say, well, we are to pursue peace with all men, and we are to comply with good civil laws, meaning those that are in full accordance with the Bible and with the biblical purpose for civil government, which only has to do with protection of individual God-given liberties and rights, and the punishment of those that do evil, those that commit real crimes against other men in society, not victimless crimes. At the same time, we are not to surrender ourselves to involuntary servitude to this wicked beast system, to obey its every whim, dictate, and desire to control every aspect of our lives. We cannot do that. We can't do that. I am under no biblical duty to wear a so-called mask or a Muslim veil or a face diaper on my face when I go out in public, or to take an injection into my arm of a genetic serum designed to redesign and to control how the cells of my body function. And like Paul, I will not be brought under the power or the control of the devils or the government's plans or their mRNA vaccine. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. We are engaged in a spiritual war. This is no time to go into hiding or stand in retreat. It's also no time to surrender. We read in 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Paul says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul says in verse 13, I give thee charge in the presence, in the sight of God, who quickeneth, gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Paul says, I'm giving you a charge before God and before Jesus. Verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's this commandment? Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate. The King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Paul said, I'm giving you a charge, Timothy, before God, before the Lord Jesus, that you understand that Jesus is our blessed and only potentate. You're not to bow down to Caesar. And this was the reason for the great persecution, the first through the third centuries, because Christians refused to seek license from Caesar to be Christian. Timothy did hold on to that. He guarded that treasure. He was martyred. The Lord Jesus is to be our blessed and only potentate. That means he is our only king. By the way, you see the bumper stickers. Jesus is my king, but Trump is my president. I see the signs today. Biden is not my president. Inferring, Trump is their president. I got news for you. Donald Trump never was my president. Never was. Jesus is my blessed and only potentate. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus taught very clearly that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. We are engaged in a spiritual war, and this is no time to go into hiding or stand in retreat or to surrender. We will have to endure darkness in days to come. This pandemic is clearly being used as one of the final means of the ultimate end the devil has in view, and that end is all about control. About the literal implementation of the mark of the beast, Revelation 13. Total economic control over the entire earth. Global enslavement of every man, woman, and child. That's the devil's goal. The beast, the devil and his beast system, they have all the technology. They've got the banking system. They've got all the money. They've got all the physical weapons to use against us. They've got their prisons, their jails, their court system. All these things lined up against us. As King Hezekiah said in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, with them is the arm of the flesh. With them is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles, he said. As the entire planet does appear to have been taken captive by this horde of microscopic germs that the powers that be named the COVID-19 coronavirus, the stage has been set for the devil's great reset and for the devil to have his day for just a short time. But again, as Mordecai said to his niece Esther, I do believe that we were all, young and old, born into this world for such a time as this, this dark time. And as more and more restrictions and requirements from employers and businesses to conform with the COVID-19 narrative come our way, We need to be wise and take steps that we can to prepare for us in days ahead, but we'll have to rely, just as Hezekiah did, on the Lord. Those of us who see evil in these things, who refuse to comply, will be forced more and more into an outcast and persecuted class of sub-citizens. We will be deprived of basic rights. And so more and more we will see the literal truth and the importance of God's command to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul said, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." We must prepare to come out and be separate. The Lord Jesus is our blessed and only potentate. He alone is our King, and we are to have no king but King Jesus. I want to remind us also of the verse that we covered last week that we should all have underlined and memorized, 1 Corinthians 7:23. "Ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men." We were bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That was the price it took to purchase us from our bondage to sin. We belong to Him. He owns us, every cell in our bodies, and He has even the very hairs of our head numbered. Our bodies, again, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The devil wants to own every human being as his slave. We cannot turn ourselves over as slaves to this system. We must resist. The enemy has come in like a flood. But the enemy doesn't realize that we have the great truth of Scripture on our side that says in Isaiah 59:19, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him." We have been promised a victory. And in fact, we already have it. We've already won the victory. As John says in 1 John 5:4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." We already have the victory. The darker things look in this world, the brighter things are for us. We need to be informed. We need to be watching and on guard against the deceptions and the schemes of the devil in this hour. We are not to be ignorant of the devil's devices, but we're not to focus on them or fear them either. As the days get darker, there are three things that we as Christians and this church should focus on. First, we should all focus on personal holiness, separation from sin, conquering the sin in our lives. Secondly, we need to focus on praising God. And thirdly, we need to focus as a church on soul winning and getting the gospel out to people. If we'll focus on these things, God will deliver us from everything else. He'll either deliver us out of tribulation or He will go through it with us and He will deliver us through it. After prayer, we're going to sing 378, "Stand Up for Jesus." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you for your word. Lord, help us to remember in all these things that we're going through that we need to be praising.